marvelous work of salvation gives you a new song, gives joy, gives you reason to sing. And I'm convinced we don't think about it. We don't get excited about it enough. This ought to be the primary reason we are here worshiping God each week. This ought to be why we get out of bed every morning with zeal and with joy, even if there are difficulties in the day ahead and burdens that are on our heart. Because He has done marvelous things for us. Because of the salvation of our God, and because He's made that known to us. Sing a new song because Jesus saves. Jesus has saved you if your faith is in Him. Well, past salvation is enough reason for praise for all eternity. It's enough for us to think about tonight, but there's more, and the psalm goes on. You can and you ought to sing a new song and have joy also because of His present kingship. Because of His present kingship, because He is on the throne right now. And I want us to consider that second tonight. Look again with me at verses 4 through 6. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. The second call for joyful praise here is issued to all the earth. All the earth is called upon to sing praise. And this time it's the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord as King of all, who's the object of praise. Verse 6, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. All the earth is called to recognize the kingship of the Lord and praise Him. And of course, that includes you and me. Because the Lord is King right now, you can sing a new song with enthusiasm and excitement, with outbursts of true joy, with music and song. It says here, make a joyful noise. That's a noise of victory, a shout of victory. That's the outburst of celebration that would greet a victorious king, that would celebrate a recent victory. Think of how the Israelites would break forth in song when David returned from conquering Goliath or the Philistines. Verse 5 and 6 call for such praise with music and melody and instruments. Verse 5, sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and horns. These instruments would have been played by the Levites in temple worship. Trumpets and horns were blown over the sacrifices. They were used at appointed feasts. They were used to mark off days like the Day of Atonement. They were used at the accession of a new king to the throne. And here in Psalm 98, all the earth is called to praise the Lord, to join in this worship of the true God, Yahweh, L-O-R-D. It's in all caps. That's the covenant name of God, the God of Israel, who dwelt in the temple with His people. Why is all the earth called to worship this God? It's because He was not just the God of Israel. He was not just a localized deity. But He was the Lord, the God of all the earth, the God of all peoples. And all peoples were to recognize His universal kingship and join in singing melodious and joyful praise to Him. Now think about the celebrations that cities will have when their team wins a championship and they come back to town and they parade through the streets and there's music and outbursts, there's cheers, there's joy. Or maybe think of the shouts and the tears of joy and the praise when soldiers return home from deployment. Or picture the pomp and the celebration and the music and the blasts of trumpets and fireworks at the inauguration of a great civil leader. Well, Psalm 98 says, such joyful celebration, such outbursts of praise, song and music and joy. That ought to be our response to the Lord, because he's king, because he is on the throne, and we have reason for far more joy and praise. And I think Psalm 98 is primarily about Christ the King, the coming King, the ultimate King. It points us ahead. The prophet Zechariah used similar language to Psalm 98. He said in Zechariah 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey." And we know as we read the scriptures that Jesus, at just the right time, at the fullness of time, came, entered into this world. And he even came and entered Jerusalem on a donkey, as was prophesied. And later he laid down his life in righteousness and in humility to bring salvation, to build his kingdom. And now he is on the throne. He has been given a name above every name. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord is King. And that's reason for joy. That's reason for worship and singing and praise. And we don't do so now at the temple. We don't do so now with the sacrifices or at the accession of an earthly king. But we do so before the King who has ascended to his throne in heaven as King of all the earth. And we praise him with all of his people from all over the world. We make a joyful noise because he is King. When was the last time you sang in worship as though you were greeting a victorious king? As you were singing for the glory and honor of our glorious reigning king? When was the last time you were just overjoyed and overcome with the reality that he is king now? You know, we don't just sing here in church because that's what you do in church, because it's a nice thing to do, because that's the tradition. One of the reasons we sing is because Jesus is King. And that's reason to praise and to have joy and to rejoice and make a joyful noise. We sing because he is alive and victorious, and he has ascended to his throne at the right hand of God. We shout joyfully because this is reason for joy. And so, brothers and sisters, have joy in the present kingship of Jesus. Sing a new song. Live in light of his kingship. Be a worshiping people assembled before him to celebrate him and rejoice in him and break forth in fresh praise. Yes, even in the midst of a broken, fallen world, a sinful world, in the midst of hardship and heartache, because he is king, he is sovereign, he is good, his kingdom will never end, and he is working all things together for good. He is on the throne, and that is reason for joy. Remember this. Remember this the next time you have little joy, or you don't feel like praying or singing. You don't feel like worshiping him. The Lord is King. And so we can and we must make a joyful noise because of that. Well, that's not all. There's a third reason given in this psalm to sing a new song and to have joy. And that's because of the King's future coming. His future coming, his return, and what he's going to do when he returns. Let's consider that third and finally tonight. Look again with me at verse 7 and 8. "Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together. The third and final call to sing a new song is issued to an even wider circle, to the whole world, including the created world and those who dwell in it, and even the sea and its creatures, the rivers and the hills. They are all called to be joyful before the Lord. Now, kids, you know that rivers don't literally clap their hands, right? And hills don't actually have joy, unless maybe you're in the Austrian Alps and your name is Maria. But this is poetic language here. These are personified, spoken of with personal characteristics, and pictured as praising God because they do so by their very existence. And the creation glorifies its creator. And high in the mountains, even right now, there are rivers clapping with fresh snowmelt as they rush down the mountains. And if you've seen this, or if you've stood on the edge of the sea or at the foot of a mountain and witnessed the greatness and beauty of the created world, you can understand this poetic language here. The idea of creation rejoicing before its creator. And I think Psalm 98, though, is ultimately pointing ahead to the new heavens and the new earth, when all of creation will be made new, when there will be no more sin, no more pain, no more disease or death, no more tears, no more curse, no more groaning, even in the physical creation. All will be full of peace and harmony. It'll be a constant symphony of praise. We know from Romans that the creation itself was affected by the fall, and it groans and it longs for Christ's return. It longs to be set free. It longs for the coming glory, which will come only at the return of Christ. And you know what? That's precisely the reason given for praise here in the third and final part of this psalm. Look how this psalm ends, picking up in verse 8. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together. Why? Before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Why do you and I, why does the world and all who dwell in it, even rivers and hills, have reason to rejoice and sing? Because the Lord is coming. Because the King is returning. And because he is going to judge the world and judge all people perfectly with righteousness and with complete equity. He's going to fully and finally punish evil and judge all sin and all people. He's going to right all that is wrong. And Scripture teaches that that is Jesus, the Son of God, who is coming again and who will judge. Acts 17, verse 31 says, God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Friends, that man is Jesus, the Savior and the King who is risen. He's coming again as judge. And if he's your Savior, if he is your King, if he is your praise and your joy, then this is reason to rejoice, to be joyful together before him, to long for that day. But if your faith is not in him, if you are not living for his praise, then this is a terrifying reality. For he comes to judge. He is coming to judge. That ought to send shivers down your spine. Because he will judge with righteousness and equity. And he's going to get it right. And he knows everything. And he will not fail to be a perfect judge. He will show mercy only to those who have trusted in him and who are in Jesus Christ. And if you're not ready for that, for his coming and his judgment, then this psalm is first of all a call to repent and turn from your sin and turn to him in faith now, tonight, because he is coming and we don't know when, but he said it's going to be soon. The very last words of the Bible affirm this promise in verse 9. Jesus says, "Surely, surely I am coming quickly." This is a central tenet of our faith and our hope, a basic Christian confession. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness. It's even in the Apostles' Creed. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Friends, there is coming a day when he will come and he will judge. And we ought to live all of our days in light of this one day when he will come. We should long for that day because he will come and he will right all wrong. And we will be raised imperishable. We will enter into the everlasting fullness of joy in his presence and in his glory. And the coming joy and goodness and perfect justice and judgment of that day is cause for joy even today. Is reason to sing a new song together before him today. He is coming again to finish his work. Praise the Lord. The just judge will carry out these promises. There's so much wrong with this world and with those who dwell in it. There are countless reasons not to sing, are there not? To have little joy, sin, sickness, sorrow, viruses, violence, hatred, war, death, wickedness, suffering. And the Psalms address all of that. But here, they give us reason for joy. Because Christ is coming. Psalm 98 ends with a crescendo of hope. He will come. He will put an end to it all. He will put an end to all evil. He will bring justice with perfect equity. And that's reason for joy. He's the Savior. He is the King. He is working all things together for good. He will be the just judge. And because of that, you can, brothers and sisters, you can and you must sing a new song and have joy. Joy and hope. That's the message of Psalm 98, a call to sing a new song, a call to have real, true joy. Because the Lord is Savior and King, and he is coming again because of past salvation, his present kingship, and his future coming. And if this has stirred no joy or gratitude or excitement in you tonight, that may be partly my fault. But it may also be that you do not know and you do not trust this King. Psalm 98 calls you to trust him as Savior, to look to him and his strong right arm alone to save you, to rescue you, to redeem you. It calls you to fall down before him, to bow to him as King, to acknowledge that he is on the throne. It calls you to fear him as a righteous judge who is coming and who will judge. It calls you to see and believe who he is and what he's done. Or maybe you are in Christ tonight, but you have little joy. There's little joy in your life tonight. There's no longing to sing a new song, or maybe there's little hope in your life. If you've lost your sense of wonder and thanks for his salvation, perhaps you've taken your eyes off of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've forgotten who he is and all that he's done for you to save you. The fact that he's in heaven now as your king and your priest, and that he's returning for you. He is coming again. Now, these realities don't mean that life will be easy, but they do give peace and hope and joy. They will inflame new, fresh praise, even now. I want to challenge you as we close tonight to take time tonight or this coming week to reread Psalm 98 or to sing it. We're going to be singing it this month together. Maybe you can commit it to memory, but think as you read it or sing it, think about Jesus. Contemplate what he has done, what he is doing right now, and what he will do. And praise him. Thank him. Rejoice in him. Remember his marvelous works. Remember his rule and reign as king. Anticipate his coming. The reality of Jesus gives joy. Respond to him with joy and praise. Sing a new song because of what the Lord has done. He has done marvelous things. He has worked salvation. Make a joyful noise because the Lord is king. Sing a new song with joyful hope because he is coming. If Jesus saves, if he is king, and if he is coming, then make him your constant source of joy. Brothers and sisters, sing a new song because your Savior and King is coming. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would get these truths into our hearts. Let us not just close our Bibles and think that was nice. Let us fix our eyes on you and know that you are King and know that you are coming and know that you are the only Savior and live in light of that. We thank you for these truths. We thank you for these words in this psalm. We ask that you would enable us to sing a new song from our hearts, to have this joy in Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.